Blog Talk Radio.
Napa Know How.
If you know how to pick something up and put it in a bucket, you know how to save 20%. This week only, buy a Napa bucket for $2.99, fill it to the top, and boom, you're a savings genius. So hurry in and save, because the Napa 20% off deal ends soon. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating stores, exclusions apply. Minimum 3 items. Offer available July 23rd through July 31st.
The knowledge that Symptometry shares is known around the world, but now we bring the knowledge in the form of food. The Downside of Nutrition, Part 1, was written by Dr. Maxwell Narki in order to expose the hidden dangers of the foods we love. This easy-to-read book is filled with reasons why certain foods should be avoided, as well as a step-by-step food chart that guides you to obtaining optimal health. Be aware of what's on your plate by buying The Downside of Nutrition Part 1 at www.symptometry.com. That's www.symptometry.com.
Are you at a loss for what to consume? Well then, you should purchase Symptometry's book entitled What to Consume. Included is a list of 45 of the safest foods for you and your family. What to Consume will set you on your way to achieving optimal health. Visit www.symptometry.com to order your copy today. That's www.symptometry.com.
The science behind Symptometry opens our mind and gives us the knowledge needed to obtain optimal health. Wouldn't it be great if we could take this knowledge with us? Well, it's possible. Symptometry offers a number of publications, from delicious cooking and raising intelligent children to seeing the downsides of nutrition and getting the path to optimal women's health. All of Symptometry's self-help books are in large print and full of easy-to-apply tips for proper cell nourishment. Add to your library today by visiting www.symptometry.com. That's www.symptometry.com. Optimal health is within your reach.
Every Wednesday, Root Cause Radio teaches us easy ways to reach optimal health. Thanks to its creator, Dr. Maxwell Narti, these healthy lifestyle tips extend to our foods. But have you ever wondered how to turn those lessons into recipes? Well, worry no more. Delicious cooking was made with you in mind. Watch the only food recipes that were tailored for our Root Cause Radio family by going to Root Cause Radio and click on Delicious Cooking. That's www.rootcauseradio.com and click on Delicious Cooking.
Root Cause Radio, sharing the secrets of optimal health. Root Cause Radio, sharing the secrets of optimal health.
The collard green recipe is fantastic, and it calls for uncured turkey bacon. And I have never cooked collards for quite that long. I didn't know that it's good to cook greens for a long time because it breaks the molecular bonds, and the food, the oxalates become more digestible, and the recipe has you to cook the greens for about an hour and a quarter, and my family loves the greens.
Once the diseases are cured at the cellular level, we are able to prevent new diseases from occurring.
this message is for those people out there that they need hope and they need a resolution for their sickness. Symptometry is the solution.
Yes, this is a total health system. I have trained under other people, and they only gave me partial answers.
My family tends to suffer with plaque buildup on our teeth, and we have to go in regularly to fight off gingivitis. And it doesn't matter how much you floss, it seems it just doesn't help. But just by using the yogurt blend, when I just went into my doctor's visit, my dental visit last week, she was amazed by the results. I mean, it was great. The plaque buildup was just minimized significantly.
Once we have prevented new diseases from occurring, then mankind will have a chance to live in a disease-free body. This is what we all want. We all want to live in a disease-free body so that we will be happy all the time.
Go deep at the root cause of your sickness, of your disease. And Dr. Naughty is an awesome man.
My name is Michelle Mitchell, and I just love being here for Symptometry. I got to actually meet Dr. Narcy, and just learning all the information that we learned today was really fulfilling, and I am definitely going to work towards becoming a student.
I would encourage anyone who would like to learn how to learn about solutions and not just live in a situation to come call Symptometry. Come to a symposium, and guess what? You can be like I am, more enlightened, because the more I learn how to do that will support me, the better off I will become.
This was a very awakening moment. We're just enjoying ourselves and feel very enlightened by all the information that we received. And I'm looking forward to purchasing a few of the books so I can continue on the Symptometry path.
What we have to do now is to establish the gateway to happiness by removing all diseases from the human body. It is as simple as that.
He talked to me for 2 hours, and he's compassion, his care, the care that he have for people, I never saw to anybody, the love for people, and I was so impressed.
Hi, my name is Lori. This is my first symposium. I enjoyed it immensely. I'm also a student at the American School of Symptometry. I would encourage everybody to participate in either the 6-month program or to study to become a symptometrist, because curing is proving. We're learning how. We want to spread the word. We need your help.
Symptometry has really helped me with dental problems. Before, I would wake up and my teeth were starting to cross in front, and the more citrus I was eating, the worse it would get. So it's been able to stop that. I stopped having dental pain and the actual teeth itself, and bad breath went away. No bad breath.
And the best way to go about it is to go to the American School of Symptometry, where we teach cosmic or atomic science, where we teach cell nourishment, so that every cell and every tissue in the human body is well nourished.
But I'm so excited because we find help. We find help in Symptometry, and we are grateful that we find this help. And I hope you'll call Symptometry, and you're gonna find out that for anything that you have, there is a solution. And Dr. Naughty knows how to help you.
Never stop streaming. Only T-Mobile lets your family stream music and video on the most popular services like YouTube and Pandora without using any of your LTE data. And right now, get your family 3 lines, each with 6 gigs of LTE data for just $40 per line, and your 4th line is free. Hurry to T-Mobile or call 1-800-T-Mobile now.
Limited time offer subject to change. OSC plus taxes and fees. Detectable video ticket issuance is DVD quality. Third-party subscription charges may apply. Streaming on included services on qualifying plan on our network. See data management practices at T-Mobile.com.
Root Cause Radio, sharing the secrets of optimal health.
Hello, everyone. This is Hope Love. Welcome to Root Cause Radio, where we empower our listeners with knowledge and share the secrets of optimal health. I am your co-host this evening, and if you're new to our broadcast, my name is Hope Love, and you can find our past shows and goodies for our listeners, if this happens to be your first time with us, at www.rootcauseradio, that's all spelled out, no spaces, www.rootcauseradio.com. Well, this evening we have a show that is dedicated to proving solutions to those living with cholesterol, and we have a tantalizing show for you this evening, sharing powerful prevention and self-care strategies. So I am especially excited about this topic because we literally have help for the millions of people who struggle with high cholesterol. I'm sure some of you know people with high cholesterol. You yourself may struggle with high cholesterol. Well, high cholesterol affects 42 million Americans, and 63 million more have borderline high cholesterol. And it's no secret that high blood cholesterol is one of the major risk factors for heart disease in both men and women, so it knows no gender. The condition of high cholesterol is linked with infertility, dementia, and heart disease, just to name a few. And that's not enough to get you startled. Today we're going to help us tackle for high cholesterol. I have my co-host who is returning, Ms. Anita Collins of My Children's Children organization in St. Louis, Missouri. And Anita actually has over 20 years in the community activism area or arena, including broadcasting experience. And she first joined us here on Root Cause Radio to share her own testimony, why she chose symptometry to treat and overcome her own health challenges. So we'd like to right now welcome to the stage Ms. Anita Collins. Ms. Anita Collins, how are you this evening?
Looking forward to us being together this evening.
I'm sorry. My applause was overstepping your talking, so I'm going to do that again. Welcome to the show this evening, Anita.
Well, thank you for the welcome and the applause, Hope, and I definitely am looking forward to tonight's show because you also are and have a long history of advocacy for optimum health. So we're going to do well tonight, I believe.
Yeah, I try. So, you know, cholesterol is actually really, really important in the development of our bodies. For instance, did you know that cholesterol is found in every single cell of the human, or I should say of the body, and it allows the body to produce vitamin D?
Now, I was aware of that, but remind me, why is the vitamin D, I was looking that up, why is the vitamin D so important right now when we're talking about the cholesterol?
Yeah, especially this time of the year. And I'm from the Ohio area, and it's funny because it helps the body absorb calcium for a healthy bone growth, and we get lots of that with the sunshine. So,
okay, so cholesterol isn't so bad after all. We're raised. It's really incredible because we immediately see the word cholesterol and just think of something is going wrong in the body. Just automatically.
I agree. Right. But our bodies need it every single day.
I wonder, will Dr. Abbott help us to understand why do we have that dual story of it being something bad for us, yet it is something that's good for us?
I agree with you. We're just going to have to wait. Listeners, you're going to have to wait and see. But we definitely have a fantastic show lined up for you this evening. And for our listeners, a chance to win a prize at the end of the show. So make sure you have your listening caps on during our Power Shift game. So if you aren't ready to receive this information by taking notes, if you're driving, hopefully you're going to need to pull over or get to your destination fairly soon. But you will want to increase your chances of winning during this show. And today, I guess our Let's see, what shall we give them? A $20 gift card, gift certificate to be used on purchasing books for RootCauseRadio.com. So let's first hear a word from our sponsor. We'll be right back.
The American School of Symptometry empowers doctors, social workers, counselors, psychologists, and energy workers to be more effective in their positions by adding the science behind root cause therapeutics to their careers in nurturing. What is root cause therapeutics? Developed by Dr. Maxwell Narty, root cause therapeutics is the only applied therapeutic science successful in eliminating disease at the cellular, lymphatic, and blood levels. The American School of Symptometry has programs to ensure you receive thorough training to cure all diseases at the cellular level, reverse the damage caused by past traumas, and empower your patients with the ability to prevent future illness. Take advantage of one of the three professional tracks to support your current career or transition into a new one. Become one of the first licensed symptometrists and therapeutic scientists in the world to administer root cause therapeutics. For more information, contact our website at AmericanSchoolOfSymptometry.org or contact the head administrator, Dr. Charlie Abbott, at 708-620-4362. That's 708-620-4362.
All right. And we're back. This is Hope Love with Root Cause Radio. And our panelist tonight is a licensed symptometrist from North Carolina. He has 16 years of experience in acupuncture therapy. He has some experience in sports medicine and Chinese herbal medicine and Asian body work. Massage therapy. We're definitely excited to have him here with us again and to share root cause therapeutics and how it works to cure high cholesterol. Please help me welcome this evening Dr. Charlie Abbott. So let me give you your due. Okay, welcome, welcome, welcome. Dr. Abbott, how are you this evening?
Oh, I'm just great. Hope, love, and good evening to you, Anita.
Good evening,
it's
sir.
Great to be, it's great to be back once again on Root Cause Radio. So I'm looking forward to a great discussion tonight, so thank you so much.
All right,
thank you.
Thank you
again for joining us, Dr. Abbott. The very first question that comes up is, please explain in relatively simple terms the difference between cholesterol and what is high cholesterol and why is it considered bad?
Okay, thank you so much, Anita. And that's an excellent question. Because we often hear about a person has high cholesterol, and sometimes, you know, we may not be familiar with it, or something where someone in our family comes home with a diagnosis and they go, oh, I have high cholesterol, but that's about it. And then they are given some type of drugs, the statin drugs, and they go on about their lives, and then they usually go back for a checkup, and that's usually just a revolving door. But, you know, the scientific name for high cholesterol, actually it seems like it's actually inverted because the actual scientific name is low-density lipoprotein.
Yes.
So it's LDL. So this is what we hear, we call it LDL, and that is the bad cholesterol. And then we have what we call the good cholesterol is high-density lipoprotein. But we have to consider these levels because, you know, the body has to function in homeostasis. And when the body isn't functioning that way, there is a reason. And it's usually based upon some type of blockage. But bad cholesterol, or LDL, will make the blood vessels stiff and rigid, and they aren't able to function the way that they should. So that is what is termed bad cholesterol, LDL, whereas HDL is good cholesterol. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Dr. Abbott. And because I see those letters and not understanding what it meant. So the low density and the last
lipoprotein.
Lipoprotein. I got the protein. Lipoprotein makes for rigid and stiff cholesterol in the blood.
Blood vessels. Yes, it makes the blood vessels very rigid because things start to crystallize in there based upon the type of things that people consume.
And it's not just the meat, and that's what I wanted to ask. Studies that show high cholesterol link to infertility, dementia, and aortic valve disease. Do people get high cholesterol simply because of their genes, or is it because of the foods they eat? What exactly is causing, and though we use the term high cholesterol, we're going to use the LDL.
LDL is, yes, low-density lipoprotein. And once again, you started out with an excellent question because it is really both of them, okay, because there are some genetic faculties that are present, but bad cholesterol is basically due to our diet, and especially in America, okay, because we know that people who consume foods that have bad cholesterol, they are not aware of the scientific diet, and they, you know, we see people consuming donuts, just go around the break room of any employment place where people work, and you know, I know here in the South there's a special place, certain types of donuts people like, and those are prepared with lots of saturated fat, and then others in different places may use palm oil, okay, and we see the red palm oil, and it's in many of the stores, grocery stores from ethnic places, different places around the world, from different cultures, even though a person may be a vegetarian. You see people on the internet, and I see them, they're expressing, oh, well, we should eat certain things, coconut oil and grapeseed oil and all of those things, and not really having the science to back up their information. And right around the holiday time, around Christmas, people are consuming eggnog, okay?
Yes.
Right, okay. So this also has bad cholesterol. And, of course, pork, okay? Pork is lard. And that doesn't belong in the human body. And I know we have a history of, well, the pig has been good to me and all of those things.
Now, yes.
You know, some people's, Well, that gene may not activate in, say, the parent, but then someone else coming along, it will be activated. So pork is definitely another, and I know it's been termed the other white meat and all of those things. Nuts, and once again, the foods that contain saturated fat. So it is primarily a lifestyle, and that is why we stress eating scientifically and taking note of things that we look at that, the list of 45 foods, and we'll touch on that again tonight in regards to what is required. I actually had a person I was working with, and she had gone to get her blood test and her yearly checkup, and she was very, very surprised to find that since she had been eating symptomatically, that her cholesterol levels had gone down below 200, whereas opposed before where she wasn't really eating meat, but she was just eating what she would call a good diet, or, you know, read something on the internet or read a book about what is healthy and what is not. But she said, even though I'm eating more meat now, my cholesterol level has come down. So that was a pleasant surprise for her, but not a surprise to us in St. Thomas. Thank you.
Well, thank you, sir. I want to ask you, I know Hope has a question for you, but I want to just ask you, not everyone, but typically people are led to believe that meat is the essence because it has the saturated fat. And you just said to us that just because you're a meat eater does not automatically mean you're going to have high cholesterol. Is that correct, sir?
That's correct. And, you know, we have to be diligent in knowing that we just aren't going to just go and start to eat just the fat around the edges or anything like that. You want to bypass that or trim that off, because any form of saturated fat in excess will be detrimental for us. It won't be good for us. But if it's in the meat and in the foods that we recommend, we know those meats are high in heme iron, and the molecules that we're looking for are oftentimes deep in the meat. So we have to make sure that the food is cooked properly and that it's prepared properly, and that way that our cells can use it. We can use the enzymes that our cells can break. The enzymes can break it down so that we can actually get the most out of it. So we don't need to shy away from consuming the meats that we recommend. And of course, we recommend the lamb, goat, bison, free-range turkey, free-range chicken, but especially for the heme iron, those are the main three: the lamb, the goat, the bison, and also ostrich if we can find it, or moose, you know, if the moose is available. But even in America, that's not sold on in the grocery stores unless you have a specialized place up in, say, around Maine or Vermont, and then over in Alaska area.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Doctor.
All right.
Right, and I know you touched on the meats and things like that, but I know usually when people have been diagnosed with that high cholesterol, they get that diagnosis from the doctor, they change their dietary intake, or try to. And so symptometrists have always recommend eating scientifically, and it's more beneficial than just eating healthy, which is what they send you home with, just eat some salads and things like that. Why does symptometry recommend scientific eating, and why do they say it's more beneficial than eating healthy? Like, what's the main difference, Dr. Abbott?
Well, the main difference is that we have a list of 45 foods that will guide a person and keep them on a path and offers a template so that they will stay within a certain amount of enzymes. And the enzymes or energy circulators, they're responsible for the amount of energy that is produced in the body and the way in which the things that we consumed are broken down. And even scientifically, you know, all foods have debris or health disruptors in them. But what we recommend with the 45 foods have the least amount of health disruptors, and they are more user-friendly for our cells, and they take less energy to break down. So even though people may find that, oh, well, they are eating raw foods, you look at the raw food people, or someone who maybe only eats one meal a day. And just because a person is thin, that does not negate them or excuse them from having high cholesterol or being being genetically predisposed to it. And that is based upon the fact that there are many foods that are high in saturated fat, such as nuts. You know, all nuts are high in saturated fat. So we have to take that into consideration. Muffins, things that are cooked with eggs. If someone is an egg eater, you know, major likes to eat eggs on a regular basis, we have to be very, very conscious of those things. Or anything that is prepared that way. So eating healthy, if someone says, "Oh, I eat healthy," what does that really mean? How do we determine what healthy eating is as opposed to scientific eating? Scientific eating is based upon laboratory research and the motto of symptometry, curing is proven, where the foods that we consume, if a person pays attention, they will know exactly how their body is assimilating it and the way in which it, you know, makes them feel. If you eat something and it gives you a headache or it makes you groggy or sleepy right away, then stay away from it. You know, I remember someone telling me once that they ate some Mexican food and, you know, just after eating it, they were done. They just had to lay down pretty much for the rest of the day. Now, maybe that doesn't happen to someone else, but for them, they know I have to stay away from that because going out to eat, what type of oils were used to prepare that food, or was it prepared in, you know, fat? You know, so there are people out here that live off the land or know people who live off the land. They may hunt wild animals. I even had people say, "Yeah, you know, I had bear fat." Well, what is actually in bear fat? You know, we have an animal that pretty much eats any and everything. What type of fat do they have? What are they storing in their fat? What type of fat is that?
Yeah.
But there are people that do those, that consume these type of fats. So we have to be very well aware of the fats that we're consuming. And humans need mono and polyunsaturated fats. You know, the plants, the trees, the animals, they need saturated fats, but we don't. So that is a major difference, is that in symptometry, scientific eating is based upon giving the cells what they need, as opposed to eating healthy. It's basically a trial by error. And many of the things that people have been consuming for many, many years are the reasons why we have so many genetic illnesses amongst our groups and different cultures today.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so, Dr. Abbott, it's a fact that, I guess that's a compliment because you're starting to sound like him, so that's an excellent thing. It's a fact that what we eat is not the only cause of abnormal cholesterol. I mean, you were mentioning eating muffins made with eggs and the bear fat, which that's like, I guess, a delicacy or whatever, but high cholesterol can also result from illnesses such as diabetes or liver or kidney disease, underactive thyroid. So how would a licensed, very briefly, how would a licensed symptometrist treat someone who is struggling with one of these other health conditions in addition to having they're high cholesterol, and they're not eating beer fat?
Thank you so much. Well, first they want to take advantage of their initial no-cost consultation to follow up on some of the things that they need from a symptometrist or a symptometry health coach. You know, as far as diabetes, high cholesterol, liver problems, kidney problems. The liver, with diabetes, you have issues with pancreas, liver as well, because the liver is responsible for converting sugar to glucose. And anytime we find ourselves in a position where glucose level drops, the person needs to refuel. But what are they refueling on? Are they refueling on strong sugars or simple sugars? And is the liver able to process that? You know, is there too much bilirubin? The bilirubin level is high. So the person may have been out drinking that weekend, and then they go in for a blood test, and they find that their bilirubin levels are high. So lifestyle. We have to take into account the lifestyle that really brings into the focus the type of issues or in diseases a person may show up with, may present with. If the pancreas is jammed or blocked, it will not produce, you know, the hormones insulin or glucagon, and that maintains the level of glucose. So the liver and the pancreas work hand in hand. And we can't leave out the small intestines, which is responsible for extracting the nutrients that we need. Therefore, the things that we consume need to have the least amount of debris. And having high cholesterol tells us that the person is dealing with how they metabolize fat, how they actually dealing with fat, and whether or not the person is using the right type of oils. And let's look at the oils that are in the store. Well, of course, in centometry, we recommend canola oil, which is top of the line, and it doesn't, you know, create difficult blows. It doesn't make the blood vessels rigid, because the cells need an excellent source of carbon. Okay, and the canola oil is the best source that we have, that we can use. But then there are people who use vegetable oil. Why do we use vegetable oil? Vegetable oil, we don't even know which vegetables that are being used in the vegetable oil. Because if they all have oil, which vegetable is it? And are you going to have a reaction to that particular one? And we all know about corn, so corn oil, peanut oil, all of these different types of oils, when they're heated or even if they aren't heated, can create issues that will cause backups and jams in the blood vessel, and they can create diseases or contribute to diseases on their own. How many times have you gone to an outing and go, well, I had something to eat, it just didn't taste, you know, it tasted fine, but then when you leave, you have a headache or a backache or something. And it may be that here's a situation, oh, well, I was trying to be polite, so I ate it. But there's no need to do that. If we know what our bodies need, then we can respectfully decline. Or when you go to a place, if you're invited to a gathering, a social event, or a party, then try to find something that you know that is good or that is symptometric. But if not, then you have to say, okay, well, you have to understand the amount of enzymes that are required, so you don't end up in an enzyme deficit, which ultimately could cause some discomfort or problems down the road. So therefore, when we look at what we do in centometry, is we want to guide people into using what is body friendly, what is cell friendly, so they can be healthy, because we can't take health for granted. And it is only while if we work at it and use the science that's involved that we have a better understanding, a better grasp on how to go forward.
Thank you. And Dr. Abbott, I just would like for you to just check your phone. You're fading just a little bit at the end, so I want to check that as before we get back to you. But to your point, my past life was in the fitness field. And exactly what you said, I agree wholeheartedly with you in the sense that you cannot cram fitness and health, in the sense that what you're eating, you can't pretend that I'm eating okay, I'm eating scientifically, when you think that other people are watching. Your body knows, and your body is going to give you signs and symptoms to let you know and anyone else around you that you're not doing it consistently. And this isn't something that's going to happen overnight, listeners. This is baby steps. This is a process. Start with one thing, feel comfortable with that, and then move on to something else. So I say that because we may have some new listeners on the line, and this is certainly a power-packed show. And as I stated earlier, you may be the one suffering with high cholesterol. And so we're giving you some tools that you can take away to empower you. You are not stuck with taking all these different multitudes of pharmaceuticals that are out there on the market. So if you're like me, you've already thought of several other people, if it's not you who has cholesterol, but people that you may know in your family, in your workplace, different associations that you're affiliated with that could benefit from centometry. Well, please, we do invite you to share this broadcast with them and invite them to come to next week's broadcast. Centometry currently has 3 therapeutic scientists and licensed centometrists you can easily reach out to. You do not have to go there physically. They offer a private, no-cost 15-minute consultation. And the first person, I'm going to go ladies first, Dr. Wanick. Although she is in the North Carolina area, she can be reached by dialing 336-545-1020. Again, that's 336-545-1020. And then we have Dr. Maxwell Narte in the Chicago area, area code 708-691-4977. Again, 708-691-4977. And with us this evening is Dr. Charlie Abbott, who can be reached at 336-456-9183. 336-456-9183. So, listeners, stay with us because we are still giving you a chance to win during Power Shift Game. Hopefully you are taking very good notes. And we are coming up with our question and answer portion. So if you have a question that you would like to have addressed by our panelists this evening and our guest, then feel free, press 1 on your keypad. And after this next commercial break, we will take your questions.
The knowledge that Symptometry shares is known around the world, but now we bring the knowledge in the form of food. The Downside of Nutrition, Part 1, was written by Dr. Maxwell Narte in order to expose the hidden dangers of the foods we love. This easy-to-read book is filled with reasons why certain foods should be avoided, as well as a step-by-step food chart that guides you to obtaining optimal health. Be aware of what's on your plate by buying The Downside of Nutrition Part 1 at www.symptometry.com. That's www.symptometry.com.
Are you at a loss for what to consume? Well then, you should purchase Symptometry's book entitled What to Consume. Included is a list of 45 of the safest foods for you and your family. What to Consume will set you on your way to achieving optimal health. Visit www.symptometry.com to order your copy today. That's www.symptometry.com.
Every Wednesday, Root Cause Radio teaches us easy ways to reach optimal health. Thanks to its creator, Dr. Maxwell Naughty, these healthy lifestyle tips extend to our foods. But have you ever wondered how to turn those lessons into recipes? Well, worry no more. Delicious cooking was made with you in mind. Watch the only food recipes that were tailored for our Root Cause Radio family by going to Root Cause Radio and click on Delicious Cooking. That's www.rootcauseradio.com and click on Delicious Cooking.
We are back. Nita, I know I was adjusting my headset, but did those sound like they were coming in clear to you? Because as I was putting back in, it didn't sound like the commercials are coming in clear, and I hope that our listeners could hear the information. Did they sound clear to you?
Very clear.
It could have been my headset. I was making some adjustments, so I apologize for that. So, all right, listeners, this is the time of the program where you can ask your questions in just a few moments. So hopefully you have your things ready. And Dr. Abbott, let me see. Are you there, Dr. Abbott? We had a little bit of switch there. Are you there, Dr. Abbott?
Yes, I'm here once again.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Great, great, great. There you are. Okay, go right ahead.
Dr. Abbott, one of the areas of concern, an additional area of concern in regards to high cholesterol, is infertility and inadequate libido. So exactly how does high cholesterol contribute to erectile dysfunction in men and low sexual desire in women?
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay, I know the ears probably perked up on this one.
Okay. Yes, we're listening.
because it plays a role in the production and the development of the sex hormones, such as progesterone, estrogen, and testosterone, which cultivates certain physical traits associated with our genders. So we see many people have two clogged arteries. And it's a fact over 43% of people are affected, and they usually, have some type of chronic disease, or they die from heart disease and stroke. Okay, so we spoke about that earlier, where a person who is getting a saturated fat, and with the low density lipoprotein, it makes the crystallization within the arteries and in the veins very difficult. So it's hard. It's hard for the blood to flow through, to push through, to get to the areas where oxygen is needed, where water is needed. And if it doesn't reach that place, this is how conditions like gangrene and other conditions set in. Therefore, a person, the heart is unable to pump and to get the nutrients to the reproductive organs. And that in turn, or to the brain, where the individual isn't producing the proper brain essentials and neurotransmitters. And when that happens, that will cause a diminished desire, and it can also slow down the production of those vital hormones that are needed in our sexuality. That is the reason why scientific eating and living along with ionization is so important. Because if your person has a blockage from their lifestyle, from consuming a diet that is bad or that is uninformed, and that may slow down the way that that person functions. They go, well, it's age-related. Well, not necessarily so. Age shouldn't have anything to do with health. That way, if everything is working the way that it should be, then people can just continually have a productive sex life until it's time for them to leave this planet. But we know, just based upon history, the majority of individuals don't have that type of active life. I always revert back to there was a man in India who was 94 years old and 96 when his last two children were born. Now his wife was obviously younger, but he was still able to father children at a very advanced age. Therefore, we know that he didn't have a cholesterol problem. And so what was he consuming? These are the things that we have to investigate as a society, but in symptometry, we already have our secret weapons in place. Scientific eating, ionization, and staying in a positive state of mind, which we call nurturance, positive impulses, and things like that. So we have to take care of the vital organs. We have to make sure that the heart is functioning well and make sure that it's strong, that it's clear of debris, and staying away from certain foods such as citric acid, use oranges, lemons, and limes, not to ingest those things because they block calcium. And that right there creates more problems within the body, and ultimately it can slow down the desire that we have, because we know it's important just based on the fact of the sale of these sexual enhancements, male enhancements, the pharmaceuticals, the Viagra's and the Cialis's, and there's another one I think that's out, but they're top three sellers. But from what I understand, it's the number one selling drug on the planet. That way, if anyone is listening to this show, and if it's desire, either or lack of desire, or from either sex, they should call their symptometry and have a consultation so that is a thing of the past for them, and then they can go on enjoying themselves and enjoying the vitality that they remember the most. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Dr. Abbott, I am not being funny, but to what you mentioned earlier about, as you were talking, I was visualizing pictures.
Nice.
And I'm thinking heart, and I'm thinking you're pumping fluid, i.e. blood, through the heart. And if you have cholesterol, of course, it's going to accumulate in the plumbing, if you will, all your vessels, as well as in the penis area. And so is it also, because you said the erectile dysfunction, because it can't get through, it can't push through, is this also why some people are having, like, I should say, heart attacks or some type of heart episodes in the middle of once they are sexually active? Because of their high cholesterol and because of the plaque and things
Absolutely.
Like that as a result of that?
Absolutely, because when an individual is trying to bypass a blockage with more force by taking pharmaceutical drugs to dilate the blood vessels so that more blood can get through, but as that happens, it's also pushing through debris and different types of sludge, which can hit those arteries. This is why the LDL is so dangerous, because it delivers sharp blows to the blood vessels. And over time, that will weaken it. And when that happens, it opens up all types of possibilities and things that can happen to a person, especially in the moment of when someone is being excited, whereas they're not being calm, their more energy is being required, and they end up, having a breakdown. The vessels may leak, and the person ends up
stroke, heart attack,
having a stroke or a heart attack, and not really understand why. But there are many cases where people have succumbed to that during time of intimacy.
Right.
And I mean, I've always heard certain jokes in the past about that, but that's not the way someone wants to leave this earth.
Yeah, well, so, okay, thank you, Dr. Abbott. Listeners, it's your turn now. We're going to open up our lines, and so if you have a question, press 1 on your keypad. Caller with the last four digits of 1845, you are going to be our first caller, and then we're going to go to 1041. That will be our second caller. And here's how you're going to, when I open up your line, you'll give us your name and where you're calling from, and then go right into your question. All right. So, caller from 1845, your line is open. Go right ahead.
Hi, my name is Philip. I'm calling from Baltimore. And I'm calling because of the... Hi. How's everyone doing today?
And wonderful.
Great. I'm calling because I was actually in North Carolina for a family reunion, and I actually ran to a friend of mine. I met him actually for the first time in person, and I was really blown away by the fact that he is he's almost 65, and he looks like he's 40. And so what he was telling me doing this symptometry. And
right.
So I have been trying to look into it and find out some details on it. I'll give you a little background. I'm a vegan. I've been a vegan for like 30, almost 30, 40 years. I mean, well, I'm vegan, vegetarian. And I had some questions about just what practice is. My first question is, I've been trying to look and see, it says there's certain foods that you shouldn't eat. I've been trying to find out what these foods are, if possibly address that and tell me what it is that y'all feel that a person should eat. That's my first question. My next question is, from what my studies are, it says that you all eat lamb and goat and bison. And I was wondering, I don't understand how that could be healthy to eat that. You know, as far as I know, my experience, that hasn't been, healthy. I just want to know what your take on it. And if the doctor and everyone could speak up, because I'm on a cell phone in the car, I can't hear a word of the thing. Speak a little louder or something, possible.
Okay. Philip, you also are, it's very difficult to hear what you're saying. It's going in and out. Could be the area that you are in and between the towers. But what I got is that you wanted to know what are the foods that you should eat. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay.
As well as,
go ahead.
As well as the, my question is, why is it that symptometry, Why do you feel that it's healthy? Why do you all feel it's healthy to eat bison and goat and lamb? I just want to know because always thought it wasn't healthy to eat any kind of animals.
Okay. All right. So let's have the doctor answer your question, and I'm going to put you on mute just because of background noise, and then I'll come back to you.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
All right. Uh-huh. Okay, all right, Dr. Abbott.
That's a very good question.
Thank you. And if you would speak up so he can hear, otherwise Philip's going to have to check out our rebroadcast. But go ahead.
Okay, thank you so much. Can you hear me now? Am I coming through now?
Well, I have him on mute, so if you just speak a little louder.
Okay. All right, well, the foods that we've chosen are based upon the test that was done in a chromatography laboratory. And this is chromatography was developed back in 1904 by Mikhail Tvets, the Russian Italian scientist that was able to see the chlorophyll. He was able to extract chlorophyll and see chlorophyll from the leaves and the foliage that we consumed, and this is where we find out more about chlorophyll and things like that. But the human body consists of 26 elements. And those 26 elements have to be in homeostasis at all times. Therefore, in symptometry, what we're doing is we're looking at foods that work efficiently with what our bodies and what our cells need. And when a person consumes foods that are not in alignment with the body, they will create a reaction. And we call them health disruptors. And we're looking forward to maintaining that level of homeostasis and being in a healthy state indefinitely. Therefore, if we just consume foods that traditionally or culturally that we've been told that are healthy, but they aren't, even though they're vegetables, what type of starches are we going to consume? Okay, are you going to eat rice? What type of rice? Brown rice? Okay, brown rice has an exosperm on it, which is insoluble. And being insoluble, where does it go inside of the human body? It becomes debris. And wherever there's a weak spot, it will find that place and it will ultimately create a blockage there. So we have a list of 45 foods. You're more than welcome to call me or call the other symptometrist to have a 15-minute at no cost consultation, but it will take a very long time for us to just go over all of the foods that we recommend. But we don't recommend eating raw salads or basically not many raw foods at all. And you have to be very careful on the types of fruit that you consume because based upon the acids, we don't recommend raw apples. We don't recommend eating citric acid, which is in oranges, lemons, limes, grapefruits, ugly's, and so on and so forth. Now, to move to your second question about the animal products, we recommend animal products because we do need iron. And the iron that we need is heme iron because we have hemoglobin. And where do we get hemoglobin iron from? We get it from those animals that I mentioned. You will find that the majority of vegans and vegetarians, many of them have suffered from anemia, a low blood count. And I know people say, oh, well, I can get it from molasses or certain vegetables. But that is the iron, that's vegetable iron and not heme iron. And it doesn't assimilate into our cells the way that what we as humans need and not what the plant needs. When you look at the long-term health of vegetarians, vegans, as opposed to people who incorporate some meats in their diet, you will find that there are more centenarians, more people who are over 100 years old that consume meat than there are people who just consume vegetables. India is the number one leading country in the world of vegetarians, and they have the highest rate of kidney failure. So we have to examine both sides of this equation and find out which is better for us, and what we found is that symptometry is the one on stage that's showing that curing is proven based upon eating scientifically and using ionization as the means along with cell nourishment. Thank you.
Okay, Philip, I've opened your line again, and I hope that has answered your question. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I didn't hear.
Much better.
I'm off the highway. I heard brown rice. I heard lemons. I heard limes. I know that I heard someone say something about kale and spinach. Are there any other? Is there a list of foods that I can anywhere I can go and find the list and look into it, or is there any way I can find out more? You know, maybe get tested or something, or get the foods or the list of foods or something.
Well, the foods that you named, those are the foods that we don't recommend. You know, we don't recommend at all. But there's a list. We have a list of 45 foods, and you're more than welcome to get me a call, or, again, either one of the other two symptometrists or call. But there's the book, The Downside of Nutrition and What to Consume. They have
which are available on Root Cause Radio.
Yeah, they're available on Root Cause, absolutely. But we can get more specific because there's more that is involved in the reasons why we eat the way that we do, as opposed to eating what is termed healthy, but we eat scientifically healthy. Because the cells need certain things.
Okay, and Philip, I just wanted to, this is Hope Love, I just wanted to say, just to reiterate what Dr. Abbott said, picking up a copy of The Downside of Nutrition and also What to Consume, because it does go into detail of the philosophy behind symptometry, but also you said it when you started your question. You said your friend looks really good, and, you know, he was telling you about symptometry, so that curing is proving. That is our tagline, and that is the proof is in the pudding. So it's not just some new fad. It is scientifically proven how this works. So I definitely would love to continue chatting with you, but I have a couple of other callers with questions. So I did take down your number, and I will be giving you a call after the show, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, caller from the 1041. Go right ahead.
Hi.
Hi there.
My name is Yvette from Illinois.
Hi, Yvette.
Hi. How are you?
Hi.
I have a question, please. Thank you. I have a question. Okay, before I was introduced to symptometry, I was going by another chemist that was online. Okay, and he states that cholesterol is good for the body, even if it's in the 300s, because what it does, it keeps the cells from sticking to each other. And also, what is considered normal numbers for cholesterol? I know we hear about, 200 or anything over 200 is high, but in symptometry, what would be considered normal numbers?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, Yvette, because the number 200 is just is really a baseline number that they use. But there are people whose cholesterol numbers are at 200 or less, but still they are susceptible to heart attacks and strokes. And the reason is because the type of oils that they use, the type of foods that they consume. So, and someone's, you're correct, someone's cholesterol can be high because all of the our entire body needs cholesterol. It needs good cholesterol. It's two layers of oil and phosphorus in the ring of the cell in order for the cell to be able to accept nutrients, to be able to process the nutrients that we need, certain things that the body needs. So we absolutely, you're correct in your statement, and the number is a baseline, but it isn't something that we have to follow very, very closely, because if someone is eating scientifically and they're cooking with canola oil, then they won't have a cholesterol issue, and they will be producing good cholesterol instead of the LDLs and putting major stress on their blood vessels and arteries.
Okay, so 300, is that, thank you, is 300 considered bad? I mean, is it true that this other scientist says that cholesterol is good for the body because it prevents the cells from sticking? Is that true?
Well,
it also depends on the ratio, too, yes.
Are you talking good cholesterol or bad cholesterol? If you're talking about bad cholesterol, then 300 is not good at all. That could create some major problems. But if the person has a susceptibility of, they have the gene of a high cholesterol, then they can work their way into good cholesterol by eating and living scientifically. But if the cells, if it's sticking, because we know it's an oily, sticky substance, however, we have to really be careful, because if it's bad cholesterol, then 300 could create, absolutely could be detrimental to the person's health. So that is why we focus on good cholesterol and staying away from those foods that are high in saturated fats.
Like butter?
Well, butter is definitely one of them. But if it's used right, then butter may be, it's acceptable in certain cases. But we don't recommend that everyone just go out and start applying butter to their bread and things like that. We recommend that it's cooked in the food. There's oils, pork, palm oil, nuts. I hear so much about nuts being healthy. But nuts are high in saturated fat, and not only that, they have cyanide in them, which constricts the blood vessels. It makes them very, very rigid.
Mm. Thank you. I appreciate that information.
Great. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. There's always a story behind the story. So, that's why we're here, proving the science behind the information that is going out there. So thank you very much, Yvette, for your question. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, woohoo! It has been, as promised, a power-packed show, and now it is time for us to move on to our power shift, where we ask you a question and see how well you do. If you've asked a question on tonight's broadcast, if you press 1 again on your keypad so that your hand will go down, so everyone will have a fair share in attempting to answer the question. So,
it's time to play Power Shift. Our therapeutic scientists have always provided the science behind root cause therapeutics, and the books by Dr. Maxwell Narte have taught us how to gain optimal health. Well, now it's time to show what you know. Listeners, get in the driver's seat. Power Shift is Symptometry's first and only science health trivia game show where you can show what you know. Continue to join us every Wednesday to compete for fabulous prizes. It's time to play Power Shift.
All right. So we are back, and a lot of information has been shared here, things that we thought were safe to eat, to consume, to do. We find out every week that maybe not so safe. And that's okay.
because the whole purpose of Root Cause Radio is to empower you, to give you the tools to move you toward or put you on your journey to optimal health. So tonight's question, we were joined by my co-host, Anita Collins, as well as Dr. Charlie Abbott as our guest, and we talked about cholesterol this evening. So tonight's question is, what is the main difference between scientific eating and healthy eating? One more time, what is the main difference between scientific eating and healthy eating, because they are not the same. So let's wait for that board to light up. And we have a couple of hands up. And let me see. I think I'm going to go with the third one. I'm feeling sort of threes today. So one. Okay. So caller from the, I guess that's 1041. So 1041, Yvette, that was you. So Yvette, what's the difference between scientific eating and healthy eating? The main difference, I should say.
I've been doing this for a few months now. I think the difference is, well, healthy eating is not really healthy, as I found out learning cytometry. And you don't know what you're eating as far as healthy eating. You don't know the downside of salads and kale and corn and tomatoes. I mean, we don't know the downside of that. So we were not eating healthy. Scientifically eating, especially that I learned from the book of Downside of Nutrition, that certain foods like collard greens and turnip greens and asparagus and artichokes, things like that, that doesn't have health disruptors like healthy eating does. So the difference is preventing blockages and congestion.
Hey, Dr. Abbott, how did Yvette do with her question, or answering the question, what's the main difference between scientific eating and healthy eating?
She's working her way around it. She's close.
The main difference between scientific eating and healthy eating. Did she hit it?
She's close in the ballpark, though. She's close. Yes.
Is that a yay or a nay?
we'll take a yay today. Yes. Okay.
We'll take a yay to that. Okay, so congratulations, Miss Yvette, for winning tonight's Power Shift question. And what we're going to do is have you just stay on the line at the end of the show. I'll get your information so we can get your certificate out to you. And so what was your biggest takeaway from today's show? I know you had a question about the cholesterol. So what is another big question, a big takeaway from tonight's show?
Learning. Every show that I'm listening to, I am learning so much about, you know, eating, staying healthy. I'm just very happy that I was introduced to cytometry. So, and learning about cholesterol is just great, because I do have family members that have high cholesterol, so I would definitely be relaying the information. So thank you very much.
Excellent, excellent. And we are glad that you are with us and that we can help to empower you and expand your knowledge about what is being touted as healthy. So we're telling you the real deal. So we appreciate you for listening and for participating in tonight's Power Shift.
Yes, can I say one more thing? I do recommend that they get the Downside of Nutrition and Foods to Consume. Everyone.
Okay, Zoom and the Downside of Nutrition.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
All right, just hang on the line. And so, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us this evening. I especially would like to thank my co-host, Anita Collins, and our panelists and guests for giving their time. Dr. Abbott, I appreciate you for all that you do, RuPaul's Radio, and in just in the world and in the realm of centometry. Next week's radio show will be on, caffeine. So that's another one of those fallacies that are out there. So I've heard everything from you can lose weight to, keep you going strong. So be sure to tune in. We'll have all facets of caffeine. So look forward to being with us, and we look forward to being with you again on RuPaul's Radio, where we empower you with knowledge and share the secrets of optimal health. Thanks for being with us this evening, and those people who are winners, just stick around. I'll get back with you. Have a great evening. Until the next time we meet again, be healthy.
Root Cause Radio, sharing the secrets of optimal health.
We all know that the science behind symptometry's root cause therapeutics is groundbreaking. The helpful tips learned on Root Cause Radio can be applied right away. We listen and learn on how to be better mentally and physically, but why stop there? Let's put the science of root cause therapeutics on our plates. Symptometry's holiday packages are here just in time. Start with food basics and learn how to choose simple ingredients to make easy dishes. Or take advantage of food at the next level by having an optimal healthy shopping list with recipes at your fingertips. Both packages are a steal at only $45 each and are located exclusively at www.rootcauseradio.com and www.symptometry.com. That's www.rootcauseradio.com and www.symptometry.com. Be optimally healthy this holiday season with Symptometry.
Are you the health-conscious person everyone comes to for advice? The American School of Symptometry is currently accepting participants like you into the six-month program who are interested in learning about disease prevention and longevity. The six-month certification program does not require an exam to enter. However, there will be two oral examinations over the six-month period. While participants will learn the basic science behind disease prevention and how to nourish the cells, diagnosis of disease and treatment is reserved for students enrolled in the degreed programs at the American School of Symptometry. For more information or to enroll, go to AmericanSchoolOfSymptometry.org. That's AmericanSchoolOfSymptometry.org.
Are you at a loss for what to consume? Well then, you should purchase Symptometry's book entitled What to Consume. Included is a list of 45 of the safest foods for you and your family. What to Consume will set you on your way to achieving optimal health. Visit www.symptometry.com to order your copy today. That's www.symptometry.com.